Today we have the great honor and pleasure of speaking with George Brandon, who's in our area to do a workshop at Omega Institute called Building a Vocal Community. Can you tell us a little bit about what that workshop is about?
Oh, sure. The workshop is 5 days long. We go from Monday through Friday. Spend a lot of time singing. The focus of the workshop is on songs that are what we call the African-American tradition of congregational singing. We do a variety of songs out of this African-American tradition. We do songs that are African chants and calls. We do those. We spend a day on spirituals, a day on traditional gospel music, more so than contemporary gospel music. A day that's related to songs from the civil rights movement. And on Friday, you know, we talk about what the experience has been like. People get a lot of different things out of the workshop. Sometimes they bring stuff to it which they need to work on out of a personal, psychological, spiritual level. And we talk about those experiences. On Thursday night, we give a sampler, which is really our way of opening up the workshop to the entire community, people who are at Omega Institute, people from outside the Omega Institute. We just want them to know what we do, how we do it, and to acknowledge the fact that they can be a part of it. They can be a part of it Thursday night. They can be a part of it next year.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, the community is always open for people to come into it, to bring what they have into it.
Right.
And to get what we have to give them.
Yeah. So you've been doing this for quite a few years.
Oh, yeah. This is our 28th year doing this.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. So have you found it changed a lot over the years, the format of the workshop? And
I would say basically no.
Okay.
You know, the repertory has grown over the years. You know, specific songs that we teach and that, right, you know, that we have people experience has grown over the years. It hasn't diminished.
Right.
You know, I think that probably the biggest single change was a result of the end of apartheid.
Really?
Yeah. Because that made a whole series of songs which we used to do, which were about the anti-apartheid movement and making people more aware of it and making more aware of the issues. So many of those songs, either the significance of them has changed,
right,
or we're just not doing them as frequently as we used to.
Right.
So I see that as being, you know, the major change, really.
Wow. So music is a significant way of expressing, you know, your political views, it sounds like, not just in South Africa and during the civil rights movement. But
well, there's a basic theme of, and some was political, some was not, but there's a basic theme of the integrity of this tradition of music.
Right.
You know, which in itself is often, just having that is a political statement in itself a lot of the time, depending on the context that you're in. And there's also the experiences that I wish the music comes, because we believe that one of the principles of this tradition is that music is functional. It's not simply a beautiful thing, which it is.
Right.
But also is meant to do things in people's lives.
Right, right.
And the songs that we do actually show that happening.
Right, yeah. Well, I know that you're not just a vocal person. Your background is as a jazz musician.
Right, as a trombonist. And
trombonist, right. Composer.
And composer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And your current group is the Blue Unity Ensemble?
Right. Right. I actually have two groups.
Oh, really? What's the other one?
One is the Blue Unity Ensemble, which is basically a sextet with a vocalist.
Yeah.
And the other is the Blue Unity Orchestra.
Ah.
Which can be as large as 16 pieces.
Wow.
You know, which is just, you know, sort of a small big band.
Cool. Very cool. So you have, I've gotten to know that you have a lot of different interests. You were telling me about your anthropological background.
Right, right.
Does that tie into the, well, it does tie into the music you were saying.
Yeah, it does. Because my interest in anthropology really sprang out of my interest in, you know, Africa and its diaspora.
Yes.
And anthropology was one way to really get into that.
And what age was it when you got interested in this? I'm just curious. You grew up in Newark, right?
Right, right. I would say, I didn't know what anthropology was before I went to college.
Yeah.
I simply didn't know what it was. I guess I was sort of looking for it, but I didn't know what it was. But my interest in this kind of thing was part of a kind of personal spiritual church that I was on.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was going to lead there. And then it was also things that were happening in Newark.
Yeah.
And things that were happening more generally in the society in the mid-1960s.
Right.
You know, the civil rights movement, the Black Power movement, which was very strong in Newark.
Yeah.
You know, influence of the Nation of Islam, which was very strong in Newark. You know, the whole Black cultural nationalist thing that was very strong in Newark.
Mm.
You know, and then it was just leaving there to go to college and then trying to make some kind of understanding of how what I was studying in college related to what was happening.
Right.
You know, more generally.
So with... Specifically, within anthropology, your interests lie in, you were saying, religion?
Religion, medical anthropology, culture change.
Mm-hmm. Culture change?
Yeah.
Can you say more about that?
Oh, well, my interest in culture change has to do basically with the situation that African Americans have been in.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you know, people who are coming from a group of cultures that got nothing to do with Europe or North America.
Right, right.
Yeah, and coming into the scene and evolving into what they are today.
Yes.
Which is, you know, it's basically, if you're looking just at the group, at that group, it's an enormous process of culture change.
Yes.
And that's happened throughout the Western Hemisphere because you have groups coming from all over the world, from Europe, from Africa, from Asia.
Right.
Coming here.
Yeah.
And particularly in the Caribbean, you know, they're all in this sort of melting pot, and what has occurred there is different ways of relating all these groups to each other.
Right.
As they adapt to the new environment and to the presence of these other groups.
Right. Now, I understand your music has been influenced by many of these different cultures as well.
Yes, it has.
Including, I was reading Calypso and some of the African chanting.
Right. I would say probably one of the major influences on what I do are extremely varied. You know, there's traditional African chanting, particularly that of the Yorubas, but also some Congolese and Pygmy chanting also, but predominantly West African stuff.
Right.
That... of course, the whole tradition of jazz,
yes,
which is a mixed tradition in itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, you know, some influences from contemporary classical music, you know, some of them more avant-garde, but some of the more mainstream stuff as well. And a certain amount of influence from my studies of both Indian and Javanese.
Really?
And Balinese music from the Gamelan.
Yeah.
That's in the Gamelan group. And,
Really?
I was teaching
in Newark?
University. Wow. No, in Maryland.
Oh, okay.
In Maryland.
Yeah, there's a gamelan group here as well, but at Bard College, very close to here. listening to the music from the CD you gave me, the Blue Unity Ensemble, do you write the lyrics for the
pieces? all the words are written by me.
There's one that I find particularly inspiring. I think it's called Do Something.
Oh, yeah.
That's a very cool piece.
I had a friend of mine, I guess it was Jorge Sylvester, who's a saxophonist on the album. At one point, he asked me where I got the lyrics from.
Yeah.
I told him I got them from the newspaper.
Oh, really? Wow. I don't remember reading anything like that in a newspaper.
No, everything that's talked about in there was in your newspapers at the time.
Well, I immediately made me think of Obama, you know, the election, and people got up and did something and elected him. Yeah. Okay, well, is there anything else you'd like to talk about to our audience?
I certainly would like to invite people to come to the Thursday night event here at the Omega Institute.
Yeah.
And this is a yearly event, so the third Thursday night is when we let the broader campus community know what our workshop has been doing.
Right. And this is a free event.
It's free.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Thursday, June 7th.
Right. It'll be in the Lake Theater.
Okay.
And it's open to everyone. We do a presentation of some of the songs that we've been working with. And then we open it up to whoever is there.
Great.
To join us. So it becomes a communal experience.
Sounds like it could go on for quite a while.
Sometimes it has. Sometimes it goes beyond what we thought was going to happen.
Cool.
Yeah. Sometimes it goes, you know, way out there. And that's great.
Yeah. I was going to ask you also about how you felt the situation in Africa is developing. I mean, it's such a wonderful continent and so many cultures there that are really vibrant. Do you feel like there's where do you feel that it's headed?
It's just a hard question to answer because there are so many different things that are going on, many of which never get into the newspapers here.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think that's one of the things I love about our radio station is that we offer, you know, perspectives that the newspapers totally seem to overlook.
Yeah. So it's really a complex question to answer. And the situation is different from countries to country.
Yeah.
You know, you have situations, you know, that are really being resolved in the world court, like Charles Taylor's recent conviction on war crimes.
Right.
You know, his involvement in both Liberia and Sierra Leone. So you have that kind of thing happening. You have the warfare that's going on in the Congo, which is basically a kind of civil war insurgency, which almost never surfaces in paper anymore.
Yeah.
So you have that kind of stuff going on. You know, the things that do surface in the paper, most important of those, I think, now, is the upcoming elections in Egypt.
Uh-huh, yes.
Yeah, so there was the initial elections at the end of May, and then there's a runoff coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is an unprecedented kind of event in Egyptian history.
Right.
You know, it'll be the first time there's ever been an elected head of state.
Wow.
You know, literally millennia. Yeah. They've never had an elected head of state.
Right.
So this will be the first time. And so you have that kind of thing happening. You know, you have countries that are very quietly, you know, maintaining.
Yeah.
This is like Zambia and Mozambique. You know, which are just, you know, they're gradually lifting the people up.
Yeah.
A little bit at a time.
I would say that's true of Senegal, too, from my experience there.
Yeah.
Seemed like a very civilized country.
You have the same thing in Ghana.
Yeah.
Nigeria is much more complicated.
Yes. I've heard that.
Yeah, much more complicated situation happening there. You know, so really, you know, it's different places. South Africa is, you know, is dealing with the contradiction between, you know, the level of economic development and, you know, the political situation, which still has many of the black Africans, you know, in really still impoverished state, despite the fact that it has black leadership now.
Right.
You know, so you have that kind of thing happening, you know, and, you know, so it's complicated.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think maybe that's a good place to wind up. Do you have anything else that you'd like to say?
Everyone within the sound of my voice should go to my website.
Okay. And your website is?
It's reverbnation.com.
Okay.
George Brandon. And if you go there, you'll be able to download tracks from my CD, as well as the entire CD itself.
Right.
And see a couple of videos as well.
Fabulous. I've listened to those tracks, a lot of them, and they're wonderful. I really enjoyed them. Okay, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm glad I was able to talk to you and your audience.
Okay.